In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. It's the second Sunday in Advent, 15 days till Christmas. And I don't know about you, but right about now I could use a pep talk for all the things I have to do, a reminder that whatever I get done will be good enough, and encouragement to focus on the things that matter. Not as high on my list is a message on repentance. When we think of repentance, we don't usually think of Christmas. It's not very merry or jolly. It suggests we're doing something wrong when we're trying to keep our place on the nice list. And so it may seem out of place in our collect or in the gospel on John the Baptist, champion of repentance. Then again, repentance might feel foreign whether it was Advent or not, because it just isn't something we talk that much about in our society. We don't talk about repentance, yet at the same time, there's a way in which we're told to repent constantly. Not for something we've done, but for being who we are. Our culture, and those influenced by it, tell us to repent when we're told that there's something wrong with our personalities, that we're too outgoing or too drawn in, that we don't say the right things, or that we just aren't interesting or smart enough. When we're told to hate our bodies, with all of the ugliness around body shaming, it's a wonder we ever walk outside. When we're judged for how we spend our time, what we do or don't do for a living, for the way we parent, for the success and failure of family members. When we're judged for our skin color, our age, what part of the world we come from, or who we love. It's nothing new, but these days especially, it's as if the mob of public opinion is eager to pick people apart. And this couldn't be further from what God wants. As seen in the second greatest command, God wants us to love ourselves and meet others with the same love. God wants us to see what God saw when God looked at creation and said that it was good. As heirs of God, we weren't made to go through life with these inhibitions and feelings of shame. We don't come into the world with these judgments. There's something we learn. And so there's something we have to unlearn, reject, and let go of. I get a sense of the life that we're made for when I look at our youngest children, for whom all they have ever known is love. They may not get their way all the time, but all they've heard from their family and community so far is that they are good. There's freedom in their laughter and the way they run through our aisles. They delight in the world and who they are in it. You see a similar lightness in our older members, probably because, as some of them have told me, they've stopped caring what others think. They have learned to see judgmental attitudes for what they are. This freedom to live and love oneself and welcome the same in others is part of the journey of becoming who we truly are, who God has created us to be. And experiencing the full extent of our nature also means getting in touch with the divine nature in us. It means that created in God's image, who we are is loving, honest, generous, gracious, playful, just. It is serving, self-giving, present. It is without pretense. It is at peace. It is living with a sense of wholeness and oneness. this is who we really are, and we don't need to repent for it. And herein lies the difference between society's brand of repentance and God's. Because where society tells us to repent for being who we are, God calls us to repent for being what we're not. It's when we do things that are outside of our nature that God calls us to repent. Repentance, which comes from the Greek word metanoia, means to turn from sin or to turn toward God. It is to turn away from those things that are not us. We've all heard that phrase, "That's not who I am." And maybe we've had that feeling about something ourselves. Or maybe we felt a nudge from the Holy Spirit when we've done things that aren't in line with our true nature. Through the beauty of repentance and forgiveness, God affirms that it's not who we are and that we don't have to keep going on in that direction. This message of repentance is not about feeling bad. It's about feeling whole. It's about feeling and being who we really are and turning from anything that would get in the way of it. That, I believe, is the refreshment that John's followers found in the desert and what drew so many people out of their way to hear him preach. Just imagine the blessing of having someone like John recognize that which is truly you and say, go for it. Repent, turn towards it. The time is now. Today there might be things we need to repent of or turn away from. But since so many of us have been beaten down with the wrong type of repentance, let's start by building up the true self, asking, who am I when I'm not carrying the load of the world's judgments, when I am free to be me, and when I stop repenting for something that God has said is good? Let's get a vision for who we are because of who God is, attributes that are already in us, whether we're letting them come out or not, our God-given compassion, graciousness, and generosity. Once we have that idea in mind, then let us move to the question of repentance. Here we can ask if there are things we're doing that don't match up with who we really are, in our thought life, in our speech, and in our actions. We can ask the Holy Spirit to raise things to our awareness, to help us see what isn't us and turn from it, and what is us and turn toward it. While it may not seem that repentance fits with getting ready for Christmas, it may in fact be a timely message. Because what many of us want most this season is to connect with people we care about. True repentance helps us get in touch with who we are so that we can give the gift of self and receive it from others. These are some of the greatest gifts we have to give. Amen.